You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, welcome again. We are at week 3 on our 5-week mini-series. And for those that are tuning in online, can you believe it? People are tuning in online to this. If you haven't caught up with the message so far, you can go to the website. It's up on the screen, LWBC, LimbrookwoodBaptistChurch.org.uk, and you can pick up the message where we're at. Because really, you've dived right into the middle of where we're at the moment. And what we've said before is part of the foundation. And as we were looking at that foundation with the children this morning, getting that foundation right is perfect. So when I first started the series, I actually asked a question. How are you? How are you was the question that I asked. And we gave many different answers, didn't we? I'm okay. Maybe we're a bit more honest and go, you know, and all sorts of things. But actually, the question I really wanted to ask, and which a number of people have actually been coming back with, is not how do I feel about stuff at the moment. Are you living well? And this is our series, Living Well. And we're breaking that word well down into worship, evangelism, learning, and life. We're saying these are the hallmarks by which we can do all things well. It was quite exciting. I saw loads of people yesterday here that I haven't seen for a number of years. And I went up to one of the young ladies and said, how are you going? I haven't seen you for ages. She said, I'm living well. And I was like, wow, she's been out there. So if you're listening to the message online today, these are exciting times. And I'm really glad. When God says his word doesn't return to him empty, it blows my mind that there might be people out there tuning in to little Limbrookwood Baptist Church and listening to what God is saying. People get excited when they see God speaking to his church. And I believe God is really speaking to this church at the moment. So this idea of living well, we've got these hallmarks that they put on the screen. Worship was our first letter, W, last week. We should be always worshipping. And if you missed that message, do go and check it out. It is online. This week, we're going to E, which is evangelism. This is our natural overflow of our worship. Next week, we'll be looking at a learning, which will be an L, discipleship I put in there, because we are either following somebody or somebody is following us. And then we're going to round this off with life, our final L. If we worship, if we have natural evangelism, if we're learning and discipling, I believe we will have the full life that God wants for us. And I said, what is the hallmarks of, what is the source of those hallmarks? It was this idea of well. It's not written in a linear format. It's written in something that keeps repeating. Because when you worship and plug into God, you naturally start evangelizing. You naturally want to learn more. When you start learning more, you live the life. When you start living the life that God's got for you, whoa, you start getting excited and you start worshiping. And then you start naturally flowing that out. And so it goes on. But the source of that, we said, was love. For God loved us first, didn't he? He first loved us. And from that well, I believe, we draw that love. And what does God say to do with that love? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, isn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang off these two commandments. Love. Love. And what happens with that love? When people love one another, they get married. And we looked, didn't we, in Ephesians 5, where love was the key. God loved us so much that he didn't want to leave us where we're at. If we're in a bad place, if your kids are in a bad place, if a friend's in a bad place, you want to take them from that place. And this is what Christ wants to do with us. In Ephesians 5, 27 there, it said, to present her, his church, to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or other blemish, but holy and blameless. This is what God wants to do to his church, or for his church. But what did he say? He didn't say you've got to get all this stuff right first and then come along and see if we can sort it out. He loved us first. He stepped into our story. This is the gospel. This is the good news this morning. God loves you so much, and we said he knows everything about us. Absolutely everything about us. And he knows that we're imperfect and that he needs to do that amazing work for us, which is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, all we have to do, and this is why the gospel is so simple, all we've got to do is trust in him and believe what he says is true, worship in spirit and truth, and we are saved. It's dead simple. It's a simple gospel, and we make it really complicated, like massively complicated sometimes. So last week we looked at worship and we said, well, how do we do that? When we plug into God, when our spirit genuinely connects with God's spirit, I believe worship takes place. Worship takes place. If it doesn't, everything we're doing here at church is a bit religious. And I'd honestly say to you, there are far better clubs out there. Go and find a better one. If this is a club, there are much better clubs to go to. But if you're really connecting with God, if you're really connecting with his spirit, then something amazing will take place. We wanted to talk about true, we spoke about true worshippers, didn't we? And actually, what does worship actually really look like? How do we break the word down? I think part of the children's talk, Joyce had it right already this morning. We said that Jesus was priceless. Jesus is priceless. If something is priceless, the word that we use, if you've got it on the PowerPoint there, was worth. If we give worth to something, i.e. that worth is priceless, we can't put a value on it. The old Anglo-Saxon word that we had was worthship. That's what the Anglo-Saxon word, when you gave absolute worth to something, it had worthship. Well, we take that, we hit the button, and worship is where we get our word worship from. If God is everything to you, if he is absolutely priceless to you, he'll be worth everything to you. He'll be worthy of your worship, all of your worship. And I believe once you connect to God in that place of worship, natural evangelism will flow out. And that is where we're at this week. E equals evangelism. Let me pray for a moment and ask God to come and open our hearts. Father, I just pray as we open your word, as we dive into it this morning, Lord, as we think about how amazing you are and all that you've given to us, Lord, you should be worthy of everything. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come now, Lord, take away any part of me to reveal the Father's heart, Lord, that people here would hear this morning what you want to say to them. Open our hearts and our minds as well as our Bibles, we pray, in your precious name. Amen. You see, I believe that when God really touches your life, when you really, really, truly connect with God in worship, and I've made the point already, natural evangelism is going to flow out from that. We saw actually with the children's thing this morning, you can build some amazing things in your life, you can do some amazing stuff, and some of that stuff might be amazing, but actually if the foundation is wrong, do you find that things keep collapsing in your life, or they don't keep working out, or someone keeps coming and robbing you stuff? Are you building it upon what God is actually asking you to do? Do you know him? Do you really know God? It's a really simple question. This isn't tough stuff this morning. Do you know God? When you do, I believe life-changing stuff starts happening. You might even be called to become a pastor. Who would do such a thing? Crazy. But evangelism, what does evangelism actually mean? I looked up the definition in the dictionary, and it came up with three things. Obviously, it's a noun, and it came up with this. It said, the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Get that one? I liked this. Zealous advocacy or support of a particular cause. I arrived in a state of high evangelism. Is that how you got here this morning? Or was there an argument in the car? There's not many parents here this morning. I certainly know with the children, it's a high state of something else. But do you have a zealous advocacy this morning? What's that great term? Are you passionate about God and what he's done in your life? Or were you once in that place and the flame has gone out this morning? Are you that person that we said about Peter when he stepped out the boat? Suddenly, I thought I could be like Christ and now I am sinking. Is there stuff that is distracting you from being a true worshipper this morning? Are there things maybe in your past you're saying are so shameful you don't believe God can use you? You know, I've got a message of love for you this morning from that deep, deep well, that you are precious, that you're made in God's image. Do you get that? You are made in God's image, the image of the Creator. He loves you individually. I know I'm talking collectively, but he loves you, 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 and you. He loves you. He's got a part for you to play in his kingdom plan. And if today you are following him, I believe you can truly take up this model and start living well. I'm about to give you a load of things that you can do to be evangelistic this morning. No, I really am not. There are things that you can do. There is program. But to be evangelistic, I think it's a heart attitude. You have to have the correct heart attitude set. I've got it on the screen there, by his Spirit, meeting with your spirit, and only then will true worship overflow. Do you get that? Because I think we can have loads of programs, we can have loads of schemes, we can have all this stuff, and you can go along to all the latest courses, but it's a bit like a kettle on the side. The kettle, you can do all these amazing things, but if you don't plug it in, it's not going to do any of them. You might know it can do this stuff, but actually, unless it's plugged in, what use is it? I want to bring this message of love to you this morning as we dive back into our readings and look at some of those people that were there that Graham so beautifully read for us. So I'm diving into 1 Corinthians. If you've still got your finger in that part of the Bible, we're going to race through this fairly quickly this morning. It's a very simple message, and we'll pick this up. So I'm diving in at verse 15 there in 1 Corinthians. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." I've asked the question already this morning. Do you know God? Do you know God? What is your foundation? What are you standing upon this morning? If this stuff isn't true, then it actually says there very clearly at the end, you're believing in vain. If this stuff isn't true, know God. If you don't know God, go back and listen to the message last week. It is online. Or I'll get you a CD if you don't do computers, whatever they are. Diving into verse 3, it says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters," and so it goes on. Second point, do you know the gospel? Do you know it? Do you know what it's all about? If I asked you, and it's a challenge because I get asked this lots of times, particularly when we're studying, could you give the gospel in 30 seconds? Okay, can you give the gospel in 30 seconds without using John 3:16? Okay, well actually, if you've got your finger still in there, I reckon 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 is a pretty good start. "For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Keep it simple, some of this stuff. I think you can make the gospel very complicated sometime. We looked at it last week, didn't we? We were looking at worship. We were saying according to the scriptures. I like the fact that it uses it twice there. The Bible likes to repeat this stuff when it's important. When Jesus was tempted, what did he say? "It is written." Did he know the scriptures? Yeah. He knew the scriptures. It is written. It is written. "So for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance." It's so important that I pass this stuff on according to the scriptures. Know the gospel. Know God. Know the gospel. Let's dive in again. Verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." Now, maybe it's a bit tenuous. You can maybe challenge me about this afterwards on some theology on this. But know yourself. Know yourself. And I think when you know yourself, you know what your weaknesses are, you know where you are at, you know when you need to plug into God. You know when you need to go, if I go down that road, it's going to lead me in the wrong way. I need to plug into God at this moment. I need to worship in spirit and in truth. I need to connect to God and I need to know him. I need to know what he says about this thing that might be taking me away. We read time and time again, don't we, that it is by grace that we have been saved. Now, Paul sounds quite negative in verse 9, doesn't he? For I'm the least of the apostles. Oh, poor me. But actually, look at where he goes into verse 10. I think he's saying we've got to get over ourselves at this point. Pointing people to the sure and certain hope of the gospel. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Don't try and be anything else. God meets you where you're at. I think through obedience and love, you will want to become more like his son, but God meets you where you are at. So why did Paul say these things? And maybe a lot of us can relate to this. I mean, the Bible is so honest, wasn't it? I've been talking to some people this weekend who aren't yet believers, and we just said, how honest is the Bible? Would you like your life displayed like some of the people in the Bible? Whoa, I'd be mad, wouldn't it? But actually, the Bible is really honest, and I think Paul's really honest here. He's got a personal story. He's got a personal testimony. He could become derailed by his past. And I'm asking the question this morning, are you feeling derailed? Are you feeling derailed this morning? You see, Graham read to us from Acts 8 at the beginning, and we've obviously as a church finished in Acts, but let's dive back into some of this stuff again. Paul wrote that letter, obviously to Corinthians, we've just been reading it. Originally he was called what? Saul. And it's right at that beginning there in Acts 8, which I haven't got in front of me. Paul was persecuting and killing the Christians. Saul approved of their killing. What a way to start a chapter. Saul approved of their killing. You see, I think Paul wrote those verses. Oh, I'm cracking a bit here. I think Paul wrote those verses in 1 Corinthians 15 because he remembers Acts 8. And maybe there's a little bit of justification going on here. I'm the one that killed all the Christians. I'm the one that was persecuting them. I was the one that was putting them all in prison. God forgets when we come to him and ask him to forgive us. God forgets. And David Platt, I was listening to him online. I don't know if any of you have listened to any of his stuff. He was saying that God doesn't suffer from some strange supernatural amnesia. He said God forgets maybe something like this. And his example he gave was on a Rolls Royce. I don't know if you've heard it before. But Rolls Royce is so good. Their cars never break down. Rolls Royce would never break down. So the rich man goes and buys the Rolls Royce because the Rolls Royce is great. He doesn't want a car that breaks down. He's driving across Europe and his car breaks down. So he calls up Rolls Royce. I thought the car wasn't supposed to break down. Don't worry, sir. Boom, out on an aeroplane, mechanic out there, fix the car. Off he goes on his journey. He gets home, he's expecting the bill to come in from Rolls Royce. Calls them up, they check on the computer, sir. They said, no record of a car breaking down. Our cars never break down, sir. Actually, God's example, when he's perfect, when he's holy, he does a perfect job with us. We might not see it this side of eternity, but when we come to him and he forgives, he forgets. But we don't, do we? We don't. Do you forgive yourself? I just ask you to take a moment. Take a moment, and I just want, maybe if you want to close your eyes, just to say to God, what do I need to let go of this morning? Am I like Paul? Am I looking back to an Acts 8 experience where I did something dreadful? And as we're going to draw around the communion table, we've got to come with that heart before God. So just take a moment and say, Lord, reveal to my heart something I need to let go of this morning and give to you. Let's just take a moment. I don't know where each of you is at, but I certainly know where my heart is at. I know what God says to me. I know it's hard sometimes, but he is able. He is able to release us into his purpose for our lives. Our personal testimony is that we waited on God. We were seeking first his kingdom over these last 6 to 8 months. And God has done something that we celebrated yesterday. I would never have thought I'd ever be a pastor of a church, ever. It wasn't on my bucket list. And yet, when God calls, he equips, he enables, and his spirit comes. And when we plug into him, we start doing stuff. There isn't any magic wands. I think most of us can look back and say there wasn't a magic wand that did all this stuff. There wasn't any particular clever schemes or programs or anything. Actually, somebody put some time into me. I've got some dear friends that are with us this weekend. Put lots of time into helping me get to where I am now. I'm going to play you a little video, and we're going to have a quick look at this video, which talks about evangelism, which is leading on to very nicely next week. What is evangelism about? What do we do? What are making disciples? So I'm going to play you a little video, and hopefully it's going to give you a wow moment this morning. To watch the video we played during the service, visit our website www.lwbc.org.uk and visit our prayer meeting page where that video can be viewed. Is that a wow? I put a big wow on the screen. Can I have another big wow? I've got a big wow on the screen again. Wow, that excites me. That excites me. God can take those things. I don't know if you noticed, quite interesting, because when we were talking about worship last week, we talked about the singing, you know, you got the lights and the guy. But actually, he didn't say that was wrong. Just don't do it shut in somewhere. Go out there and go and play guitar somewhere else if that's what you do. Pianos are a bit more awkward, I know. But that should be our attitude. We're called to go. As a church, we've been called to go. When we looked at our church weekends and we had the church conference here, we said we're very good at the stuff we do in here, all of the bake sales. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But actually, are they burdening us? Are they stopping us from going? I'm going to literally whistle through this because it is a communion service. So I'm going to just look at Philip this morning and see, as an evangelist, what he was like. So if you dive back into Acts, we'll have a quick look at some of the bits and pieces in here. So in Acts 8, diving in at verse 4, we read, "Those who had been scattered preached the word. They went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city." So hold on to your hats. Verse 4, evangelism is primarily, I would say, our natural conversations. Let's not make this stuff complicated this morning. Natural conversations. As they were persecuted, the Christians were scattered. And in actual fact, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because Paul is beating himself up. Had he not been Saul and was doing the persecuting, would the Christians have been scattered? Would the gospel have gone? God was using him then. God is using you and your past now. Okay, so catch some of this. This is exciting. So they were scattered, and Jesus was talked about over coffee, in the marketplace, on the road, etc. Verse 5, we see that evangelism was also taking place in the public place, preaching the gospel. Okay, public proclamation of the gospel in verse 5. Evangelism can also be to crowds and events and gatherings like this. Okay, so we're not saying evangelism is one particular thing. Let's go back into verse 26 and we're going to look at Philip again. "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip," Acts 8:26. "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official," and it carries on. "This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet." We've been hearing a bit from Isaiah recently here. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. I think individual evangelism is actually based upon natural friendships, natural relationships. I believe that's where we can be most effective. Do not be scared of the world. If you hear someone reading something or doing something, you say, do you know why you're doing that? Have you heard it? Do you know why? And without a doubt, they're going to say, I don't know. How am I supposed to know unless someone explains it to me? You'll be really surprised. I think there's a lot of Christians sitting in their churches going, I don't want to go out there. It's a scary place. It's a scary place. Do you know what? It's a broken place. It's a lonely place. And you are God's representatives with his love. And you can go and challenge that brokenness. Verse 34 to 35, I think it says that it's based on scripture and not clever gimmicks. Remember this stuff. I'm repeating this. It's based on scripture. Know the scriptures. Learn them. Verse 35, key. It's centered about Jesus. The evangelist leaves that person rejoicing about Jesus, not about the evangelist. Maybe today we've got too many celebrities. As evangelists, I think we've got to be fairly flexible with this stuff. Philip did all sorts of things, didn't he? He ministered to the widows. I'll put these references up so you can have a look at this. Like I say, I'm whistling through it fairly quickly. Philip ministered to the widows in the church. He also preached in the public places there in Acts 8. He talked to one individual. He preached on his journeys. He was hospitable to God's servants. And he was consistent at home. It's interesting, isn't it? People are going to be looking in at Limbrick Wood Baptist Church. And we're saying we want to serve that community out there. And are they going to look in and say, do you know what? They reflect something amazing in that church. There's something amazing that's taking place. That's the place that I want to be. I want to be like that. That's what I want. Or are they looking in and thinking we're weird? Are we weird? Are we without love? John 13, as I close, says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, which we're going to be looking at next week, if you have love for one another. Does the world really see us loving one another? Do we really love one another? Because when they see that, that will be our natural evangelism. So as I close, keep plugging into God. Keep plugging into God. You've got to worship him. He's got to be worth everything to you. And if you don't get that, if that's not where you're at, I would say I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to sit down and open the scriptures with you and say, look, this is God. This is the one you should know about. This is what he's done. Connect with him. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. There's another word that comes after that sometimes, isn't there? But I'm not using that this morning. Keep it simple, Stanley. Know him and know the gospel. We can make it way too complicated sometimes. Way too complicated. And if you don't understand it, you're never going to be passionate about it. How can you get excited about something you don't know or someone you don't know and you don't love? I don't think you do. And keep it natural. You know, the mission field, it sounds like a very posh place, doesn't it? The mission field could be the bus stop. It can be the person that you sit next to every day. It could be your home life. It could be your family. It could be any. It's the place where God has put you. He's put you there because you're the best person to be there. So I close. E equals evangelism. There's no clever gimmicks, I don't believe. There's no clever schemes. It comes from a heart attitude that flows from having a heart of worship. Having that heart of worship, you know God, you're plugged into him, your spirit meets his spirit. I believe natural evangelism will flow from that. People will see you love God, and there's no better testimony than your life when you truly love. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much that you did send us your Son. Father, I thank you so much that you realize that we're broken and daily we turn from you. The Lord, our natural direction is to get up in the morning and go in the completely opposite direction to the direction we thought we were going to go. Lord, I thank you that your Son paid that price perfect and sufficient and all. There's no more that needs to be done. We don't need to add to that. Help us to keep the gospel simple. Help us to live those lives where we demonstrate lives that love you and that love our neighbor as ourselves. Where love is the key, where that community that we so want to reach and bless will see that we truly do love one another. And Lord, we know that we cannot do that on our own. So I just pray this morning, Father, will you send your Spirit, Lord, fan into flame those unique personalities that we all have. Father, not all are called to be preachers, not all are called to be teachers, evangelists. Lord, we make up your body, and it is beautiful when that body is living in harmony together. So Lord, for each of us that are here today, maybe that thing that we felt you put on our hearts that we need to sort out, Lord, will you help us to leave that maybe here today? As we draw around the communion table, Father, we would leave that at the cross, knowing that you have paid that price for us, that it's sufficient. Knowing, Lord, that you have us in the place that you want us to be at the moment. And it may be a difficult place, but when you want us to be somewhere else, you will tell us to go. And if we have obedient hearts, we will follow. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you that you loved us first, that you demonstrated that, Lord, we might be able to follow in those footsteps and love others too. We pray for your glory. Looking forward to you coming back again for your beautiful bride, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.